Today's Mishnayos are Masechtas Peah, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. Today's Mishnayos are being learned the Ilui Nishmas, Reb Arye Tzvi, Ben Reb Chana Chendel, the Kozhuk Lava Goyen, Hashem Yimkoim Damar. So we're still discussing the laws of Shikha for one more Mishnah anyways. And specifically, we're discussing the laws of Shikha as it relates to an olive tree. And it's clear that an olive tree is unique as it relates to Shikha, primarily because of the prominence and the value of the tree, the olives, the oil that came from the olives. Our mission is going to continue to discuss halachas that relate to olives, olive trees, specifically related to Shikha. Zok the Mishnah. Zayis, shenimtza oimed bein shalosh rois. If somebody has an olive tree and it's tucked away, it's in between three rows of olive trees, shel shnei malbanin. And in between the three rows of the olive trees, there were two arugas, two patches of tfua that were not olives. So the visual is a row of olive trees, and then you have a row of some sort of tfua, another row of olive trees, another row of tfua, and another row of olive trees. You have three rows of olive trees, and you have two rows of these arugas. In middle of the middle row of olive trees, there was an olive tree that the person forgot. Says the Mishnah, Eina Shikha, it's not going to be considered Shikha. And the reason is because Shikha is only if a person forgets during the usual course of harvesting. But being that in this case, the reason the person forgot is because the olive tree was tucked away. It was in between all these rows and everything that was going on. So it's like something that was covered, that if a person would forget, it wouldn't be considered Shikha. So too, this is not going to be considered Shikha. Another halacha. Zayish yesh bo sasayim ushchachoy, an olive tree that measures two saw, sasayim in a shikha, is not going to be considered shikha. Why not? It's for the same reason that we saw that all shikha is not shikha if it's sasayim. And as we saw in the previous parak, it doesn't matter if it's shikha sakama or if it's shikha sa'oimer, all shikha has a share of sasayim. Says the Mishnah that don't think a zayis is different. Why would you think Azayas is different? Maybe because it's more chashuv. So maybe even if it's less than sasayim, even then it would be considered not shikha anymore. Says the Mishnah, the same share of sasayim that you have for all tfua, for all trees, for all bundles, attached or detached, is the share you can have for the zayis as well. Says the Mishnah, Bamedvar Mamurim. Now usually Bamedvar Mamurim would be referring back to something that we just said. But this Bamedvar Mamurim is actually referring back to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had discussed a situation where a person has a very chashuv olive tree. It's chashuv because it oozes a lot of oil. Even if not always, it's only b'shaitai during its prime season. Such an olive tree is never considered shikha. And the reason is because you never really forgot it. There's certain things you just can't forget. And as a result, even if right now, maybe temporarily, you're not thinking about it, but eventually you're going to come back. So the Mishnah is referring back to that. It says, "Bamedvar mamurim." When is it true that that's not considered shikha? Bismanchali hischa. But that's only if you didn't start harvesting it. So if you have this tree, you didn't begin to harvest it, you completely seemingly ignored it, then we say ene shikha. Avalim hischabai, but if you start, I feel like his eyes on a tufa b'shaitai, even if it's a very, very chashav olive tree, like the one that oozes a lot of oil during its time, ushchakai, and you forget it, yesh le shikha, that is going to be subject to the laws of shikha. So if you ignored it, we assume you're going to for sure come back to it. But if you did ignore it, you started with it, and then you walked away from it, so at this point, there's no reason to assume you're going back, and therefore it would be subject to the laws of shikha. Says the Mishnah, kol zman sheyesh loy tachtov, yesh loy berosh. What happens if a person left some olives on a tree? However, there are olives sitting on the floor that are his. They're not like it. These are olives that he's going to be able to take for himself. So says the Mishnah, as long as there are olives on the bottom of the tree that the balabayis is allowed to take, then yesh loy berosh. Then if there's olives on the top of the tree, those olives are not going to be considered shikha. Meaning, as long as you're coming back to the tree, even if you're going to the bottom of the tree, that's enough for not to be considered shikha. Rameir added to that. Rameir said, mishetelech hamachaveh. So what does that mean? Apparently, there was a metzias that when a person had an olive tree, he wanted to make sure that he got everything. It was very valuable, and as a result, he didn't want to lose anything. So what he would do is he would have people whose job it was that after he did all the work in the field, these people would come, they would sweep up the area, they would look for the last little bits of olives that they can get, then only then would the balabais be comfortable that he took care of business. So Rameir says that something's not considered shikha until those chevrel finished doing their job. Meaning, as long as they didn't do their job yet, the person didn't really forget, because he's relying on all these arbiters that are going to be doing their job a little bit later. Once they go, they clean up, and there's still something that's left over, at this point, it's going to be considered shekhazokt, the Mishnah Vaiter, Mishnah Gimel. So we've been talking about Peya, Leke, Shikha, and now we're going to have one Mishnah, only one Mishnah, that talks about another very important Sif Katan in the laws of Leke, Shikha, and Peya, and that's Peret. So what is Peret? Sounds a little intimidating, but really Peret is to grapes what Leket is to Tefuah. We know what Leket is to Tefuah. The halach is, if someone is harvesting his field, or he's collecting and he's gathering everything that's inside his field, so the halach is, the leket is something that he's not allowed to gather. Leket is something that fell during the harvest. But the point is that different halachas, a whole bunch of different mishnayas. Leket, however, is mesuyim to things other than grapes. When it comes to grape, it takes on a new name, and the name is called peret. Now, what's the makar to peret? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says also in Parshas Kedoshim, right after the Torah talks about peya and then talks about leket, it says v'charmecha loisa oilel. See what that means in the next Mishnah. Uferet karmecha loisa leket. Zok Rashi uferet karmecha gargarei anovim hanoishim b'shas betzira. So these are grapes that fall at the time of the harvest. So while the person's harvesting the grapes, if any grapes fall, they would be called feret. And the Torah says, Aloysa say, Uferet karmach aloysa lakit. And then the asay, La'oni v'lager tazavoysam. So just like peya, leket, shikha, all have an essay and a loisa say, feret has that same stringency. It has an essay and a loisa say as well. We have one Mishnah that talks exclusively about the laws of peret. It's this Mishnah right here. It's Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. Zok to Mishnah Yizehu peret. What exactly is peret? Hanoisher b'shas abtzira. It's referring to grapes that fall at the time of the harvest. Let's say somebody was harvesting his grapes. Okatz esha eshkol, and he ripped a cluster of grapes and detached it from the ground. Huspach ba'olaman. As he did that, it got caught in middle of leaves. Nafal miyadei. As a result, it fell out of his hand. La'aretz. To the ground. V'nifrat. And then peiros separated. Harehu shabal abayis talachas. It's not going to be considered peret. And the reason is, peret is only if it falls in the usual course of harvesting. But being that this that happened was a little bit unusual, therefore that would be enough for not to be considered peret. Fighter. If somebody takes a basket and he puts it underneath the vineyard, at the time that he harvests his grapes, meaning if somebody prevents peret from happening, he's considered a gazlan. And regarding him, it says, a person should not infringe upon the territory of the oilim. So who's the oilim? So we saw this already in a Mishnah, in the fifth parak. The Rav over there brought a few different shot. And one shot the Rav said was, it's Miloshin Saginar. The oil is really a yoyrid. It's referring to an ani. And the pasuk saying, al tasik vul oilim, that you shouldn't be masik vul, you shouldn't take anything from the ani. So if somebody's going to go and he's going to prevent parrot from happening, so he's going to be considered a gazlin, hareza goizel asaniyim, and al zen nemar, al tasik gvul oilim. And the truth is, it's a little bit of a chiddush, this halacha. Why? Because being that he's catching it before it actually falls onto the ground, so you would think that he's not a gazlan, doesn't belong to the aniyim yet. If it doesn't belong to the aniyim, why is he considered a gazlan? Gazlan means you take something that belongs to somebody else. You took something that could have, would have, should have belonged to something else, but it didn't really belong to anybody else. So the Rav, right here, addresses this question, and the Rav says, quote, the peret b'neshirasei zachu b'aniyim. Because the way peret works is the aniyim, azoicha, they're kind of the peret. As soon as it falls, even before it falls on the ground. So being that the aniyim azoich in it right away, even before it hits the ground, so at the point that you go ahead and you catch it, at that point you're a gazel. Meaning, yesh lachker, when does something become peret? Does it become peret when it falls on the ground? Or does it become peret as soon as it falls, even before it falls on the ground? That's what the Rav is saying. That you see from the fact that the Mishnah says, Areza goizelos aniyim, so that means that the peret goes into effect as soon as it's airborne. Even before it actually touches ground, at that point it's considered already laniyim. So therefore, if you're going to go now, you're going to bring a salon, you're going to chap it, you're a Prosta Gazlin, and that's what the Mishnah says. Hareza Gozel Asani. So the truth is that when we learned the Mishnah in the fifth parak, we mentioned that it's interesting that the Mishnah quotes a pasuk al tasei gvul oilin. It's a pasuk very much from left field. Mishlei parak habez, and that's the pasuk that we're using to bring out the terrible thing that the person's doing. The truth is, just to even bring out the ha'ara a little bit better, if somebody goes ahead and he does this, meaning he takes something that's parak for himself, the person's over an asay and a lois asay. It says in the Torah, "La ani v'lager tazei v'oisa." It says in the Torah, "Uferet karmecha lois alakit." So we have lavin in the Torah, an s in the Torah, where it says clearly that a person not allowed to go ahead and take leket. We want to bring out that leket is so serious. Hareza goizel asani. Number one, you're a gazla. I hear you're a gazlan. Add insult to injury. In addition to the lav and the say, you're also a gazlan. And what's the makar? Mishlei perichabez. So it's definitely something that's worth thinking about. Just one other ha'ara to mention, and that is, and this is not only true for peret, but this is really true for really all of the matnas aniyim of the pasuk. The pasuk that introduces the matnas aniyim of parashas kedoshim, it begins uvekutzrechem es kitzir artzrechem. That when you're going to be gathered, you're going to be harvesting your field. Now, uvekutzrechem is a lashon rabban. Artzechem is a lashon rabban. We're talking to the rabban. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Medaberes, Mitoich Groinei Shal Moisha, and Klal Yisrael is being addressed. Uvekutzrechem, and all the Jews, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have fields. They're in the Midbar, now they're eating man, they're drinking the Beresh of Miriam. They don't even know what this looks like. But one day you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have fields, and you're going to be Zerea, you're going to be Chayrish, and eventually you're going to be Koitzer. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidim, Uvekutzrechem es k'tzir artzechem, when all the Yidim, all of you Jews are going to be going and you're going to be harvesting your field, loy sechale pa'as sodcha liktzar, v'leket k'tzircha loy salakit, v'charmecha loy sa'oilet, uferet karmecha loy salakit, Lashon Yachid. So we start off Ubekutzrechem es k'tzir artzechem, which is Lashon Rabbin. We're talking to everybody. And then all of a sudden, Moshe is looking to one person. I mean you. Loisachalo pas odcha, v'leket kitzircha, v'charmecha, uferet karmecha. So the Chaim HaKadosh right here, in Parashas Kedoshim, he asks, so why does the pasuk begin b'loshen rabin? And then all of a sudden, when we talk about the lavin and the essen of peyah, of leket, of peret, of oilus, why do we suddenly switch and we talk b'loshen yachid? So the Chaim HaKadosh says that the pasuk is coming to say that sometimes you have a person, he has a field, his field doesn't produce that much. He's not a great segvir. How much paya does his field have? It's elu dvarim she'en lemshir, even lamata. Even midrabanon, it's only 1/60. How much leket does he have? How much shikha? How much peret? How much oil is? It's probably not a lot. And the person might think, okay, my leket, big deal. Vasa the grace is ach. So the pasuk went out of its way to talk to the yachid. Avada the halachas negeya every single yid. Aber, every single yid in Klal Yisrael should know. It doesn't matter how big or small. Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit. That loisa chale pa'asodcha, I mean you. Your field, you have to leave peya. V'leket k'tzircha loisa lakit. Make sure you don't gather the leket. V'kambrcha loisa ilofer, kambrcha loisa lakit. Why lo oni v'lager tazav oisam ani Hashem alekeichem? Because your peya, and your leket, and your peret, and your oilless matters, and it's momen aniyim, and areza goizelos aniyim, and azanem al tasig v'l oilam, and the Torah went out of its way to speak to the yachid, because the yachid might think each individual, certainly the person doesn't have that much means, what's my matnas aniyim worth already? Maybe it's not something I have to worry about. So in makdim, we mean every single yid, and then each one individually has to understand that really his matnas aniyim is very, very chashuv.